is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Media throughout the country reported that while Trump was forcing himself on El Paso, a city that wanted no part of him, and after his words and policies helped arm the white nationalists and triggered his massacre there,
his immigration police stormtrooped their way into several Mississippi food processing plants where they terrorized thousands of workers and arrested nearly 700.
One union president, Mark Perrone of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, said such raids, they tear hardworking men and women apart from their children, families, and communities. It's wrong. The people who do these incredibly difficult jobs have the right to due process and to be treated with respect and fairness. These raids spread unmistakable pain among neighbors, friends, coworkers, and loved ones.
With us from Mississippi to talk about the terror raids is Bill Chandler, Executive Director of the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance, and Luis Espinosa, Central Mississippi Community Organizer, and special guest Marley Lopez, who I don't know if I'm both happy to wish her happy 16th birthday or whether maybe that's where she would start our discussion, because today is actually a very sad day for Marley. And tell us why, Marley, is this a sad day, even though it's your 16th birthday?
Well, it's actually my 15th birthday.
Ah, okay.
Yes, and supposedly today is actually my birthday, and supposedly I was going to have a sweet 16. It's, I just have it in my 15, and I was supposed to have it Saturday, but since all the complications and all that, it wasn't really, we weren't able to do it that day anymore.
And Marley, why aren't you able to have that sweet 16th birthday?
Well, they got my dad, and so now after, that was on August 7th, so he couldn't work anymore, so my mom is the one providing for all of us now. She got to pay the bills, so after that, money's not gonna make itself to get over there too.
When you say they got your dad, Marley, what do you mean? Who has your dad? What happened?
From the start.
Sure, from the start.
It was the second day of school, and there was just it was a pretty normal day, anything like that. I called my dad 6:55, I think, or something like that, because the bus comes at 7 o'clock, and so it was a really normal day. And then next year, now I was just in the classes and everything like that, and so it was just nothing was happening. It was pretty normal for me. And then next year, now they come in the office at 9, 4 minutes before the minute, before the bell rang and anything like that. So then they just come in the office. At first, I thought I just got myself in trouble or something like that. And so, I didn't know what to feel about it. I was thinking to myself, what did I do wrong or something like that. But then there was my friend's dad over there. So they were just saying they got my dad. And first, I didn't believe it at first because, I don't know. I never thought there was, I know the immigration's coming and all that, but in my head I just never thought it would actually get my dad. I knew it could be possible, but I just never thought it would they would actually get him. But then I saw their faces, they're all teared up and they're just staring at me. So that's when I broke down, because that's when I felt bad and all that. So it's just in a way, I kind of blame myself for it because, like I said, supposedly my party was going to be Saturday. And so then I blame myself saying, they've been over working more extra time and all that to get, the money and all that. And after that, I just blame myself for it.
So, Marley, by the way, who's in the background with you? It sounds like you're taking care of some little ones.
And that was my sister. She was the same. Well, something there.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One sister, and I have one brother and twin brothers.
And how long were you going to the school that you were going to before you were notified that your father was picked up by ICE?
It was my second day of school, and it was like my first time, because it was high school, so it was my first, I was being a freshman.
Wow.
So it was my first day in high school, or second day in high school.
And how long did you live in this town?
I grew up here.
You grew up there. So your family's been there a long time, huh?
Yes, yes.
So let's bring Bill Chandler in, and maybe you can, Luis Espinosa, add some of the background to this horrifying raid that put people like Marley Lopez in a horrifying situation where the family's money is short now. Obviously, their advantage and privilege is seriously curtailed, and we'll find out more about that. But it's really kind of heartbreaking. What actually happened, and why do you think ICE went into these food processing plants in Mississippi? Bill Chandler?
I think that people have to realize the history of Mississippi, that it has really is one of the most racist states in the country. And we have had raids like this in the past, one at Howard Industries in Laurel, Mississippi, that we responded to. There were 592 workers that were arrested there. And MIRA, our organization, the Mississippi Immigrants Rights Alliance, responded, and we were able to find attorneys. We had a group of attorneys from New Orleans, from Loyola Law School, and a couple other places that worked together with our legal project director, Patricia Ice, to deal with the legal problems that were forced on the workers with the raids. And then we began raising money. We got grants and donations to help them through this trauma of being without work. When you arrest the breadwinners in the family, and even if they're let out, they cannot work. They're not allowed to work by the law. And one of the problems with some of the people that were arrested, they had been arrested previously and had ankle monitors on. And when they came to work in the poultry plants, they still had them. And ICE was able to track them from the places where they were originally encountered and arrested and put given court dates and put the ankle monitors on and trace them to the poultry plants here in Mississippi. That's one of the dangers with the ankle monitors. You really can't take them off, and you really cannot do things you're not supposed to do, you know, after you have been arrested the first time. Now, many of the people have been arrested in the past and deported. They are given what they call voluntary departure, which we don't recommend, but most of the time people do that to get out of the situation they're in, and they go back to their countries of origin. If they come back and they cross and they're arrested by ICE or the Border Patrol, and it's the second time they're accused of illegal reentry, which since 1996, during the Clinton administration, became a felony. It used to be a civil charge. Not anymore. It's a felony. So we have many of the people that are beginning to apply for bond going to court, and they're accused of illegal reentry, and that's a red flag for the judges, because they think if they had done that before, that they're going to do it again, so they don't grant bail. In rare cases, do they grant bail? Then the bail itself, for most people, in most cases, they cannot go to a bail bondsman like most of us can, you know, that are in the United States, but they have to put up a cash bond. A cash bond can begin around $15,000 and go as high as $10,000. Even if they're granted bond, they don't have that kind of money, not if they're working in the poultry plants, less than $15 an hour. It's usually around $11 or $12 an hour. And basically, that's not even a subsistence wage. So, you know, they don't have savings accounts and so on. So how are you going to get out of jail with the bond? When they put up the bond and they go to court with their court appointment, and then they depart, then their bond is given back to them. Their cash is given back. But we have had bond hearings here in Jackson. Most of them take place in the places where the people are locked up, like in Gina, Louisiana, which has a sordid reputation to begin with racism. Years ago, we had marches and rallies there to protest the racism against black students in their high school and all other parts of Louisiana. Then there's a prison that was recently converted to a detention center here in Mississippi in Natchez, which is 90 miles southwest of Jackson, and that's a 2,000-bed facility, so they're trying to fill it. All of these facilities are privately owned by for-profit prison corporations like CoreCivic, formerly Correction Corporation of America, and GEO. All of the facilities at the moment are owned by GEO, and they have to make a profit. So they have an interest in keeping people locked up because they make money under contract from the federal government, and the longer they keep them, the more money they work. And so this is why the bond process is so complicated, because there's a profit incentive for these corporations to make money. So there's a terrible mess going on every time there's a raid. And this is not unique to Mississippi, although our so-called political leaders are very anti-immigrant. The governor, Bill Bryant, our two U.S. senators are just disgusting racist, Wicker and Cindy Hyde Smith. So you have this whole mentality that supports that kind of action by law enforcement. If they're brown folks, let them out of here.
So, Luis Espinosa, while this legal process is continuing, what's been happening to the other families in the six towns where the raids happened? How are they surviving, and what are the prospects for the future?
Also, who are they? What kind of people are we talking about? What backgrounds do they have? Paint a picture for us.
Most of the families, let's say maybe the 60%, maybe 70%, they are from Central America and then Mexicans. What you hear about this girl you spoke with, just one story. It's just one case of hundreds of stories, because every family may have something similar to tell. Because every family right now have a problem, do not have a work. Most of the times it's father and mother working in the plants. So right now, the father is not working, the mother is not working because they cannot work. Maybe right now they are spending money, making payments, but they need to make payments with something maybe they save for many, many years. And it's going to be a moment, I don't know when we do not have enough money to help them, and they don't have money, then what is going to happen? I don't know. Because should be any solution. They are already here. Many of those families have kids born in the United States. So it should be any kind of relief. It's going to be even good for the government, because that way they can support themselves.
And Marley Lopez, I understand that you are interested in becoming a doctor.
Yes.
What do you think this will mean for your aspiration to become a doctor? Why do you want to become a doctor, by the way?
Well, the reason I want to be a doctor is because, I want to help out people, and even though, there's not even a lot of Hispanics either being doctors, I noticed that people that don't speak English or anything, they got to get a translator, and sometimes in translator, they make you pay a lot just to translate in a doctor's appointment, mm-hmm. So having someone bilingual and all that would help out a lot, and then, it will just, help all the kids out, and then it wouldn't be a waste of money too, because some of them gotta pay just going to the doctor, they gotta pay a fee to it too, and then not paying a translator, that's more money too for it, and just to go to a doctor's appointment.
So what's it going to mean for you now? How seriously do you think that the arrest of your father, I know your family is from Guatemala, what does this mean for your future plans and your aspirations to be of assistance, to help by being a doctor? What's going to happen?
College, I know that's a lot of money, I know that, but I was always focusing on my grades. So, I'm in high school, so I'm trying to get, right now I have, straight A's, so that's why I'm trying to give, my scholarships more, because I really don't want them to pay for it, because I know I want to, try to do good on my ACT and all that, and, I want to go out of state. One of the colleges, my dream college is to go, to Connecticut, Yale University, college I want to go, or university I want to go to. In Connecticut, so, it's more, and that's more money, too, going out of state, because I don't want to, my future plan is not to stay here in Mississippi when I grow up.
So, at this point, how are your sisters and brothers being affected by the arrest and the potential deportation of your dad?
Well, like, I don't know how they really feel. Like, I know they will feel upset. Like, right now they don't really think about it, I guess, because nothing has really happened yet because he came back. So, like, I don't feel like my brothers, like, would, like, don't feel really much to it. So, like, seems like nothing has happened yet. Like, there's no court cases. Like, he hasn't gone to court yet, and nothing happened to him yet. So, I don't feel like they feel like nothing right now. But, like, you know, to me, I feel like, you know, anything can happen tomorrow. It can happen later. So, like, you know, I kind of feel, like, tensed up. And, like, I don't know, scared, I guess. And guilty.
Guilty? Why guilty? Yeah. Why guilty?
Like, well, I said, like, my party and all that. After that, like, I just felt like it was my fault at the end of the day. And, like, right now, like, they want to still make the party book on a different day, but I just don't feel right having it anymore. Like, deep down, I just don't want to have it anymore because I just feel guilty, like.
Well, it sure isn't about you. There's nothing to feel guilty. You're the one who we should all feel real proud of. Your aspirations, your courage, your dignity just sings through these phone lines. Don't you think, Bill?
Yeah, I agree too.
And Lewis, how do we help these families, both in terms of the legal cost and in terms of surviving, until they can find something else to make money?
Yeah, we have, here at the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance, we are accepting donations. As a matter of fact, we've had donations not only from all over the United States, but also from Europe and Mexico and other places to help the people survive. And we are currently helping them with rent, with their utilities, with their cell phones, and so on. And we did this 11 years ago in the wake of the Howard Industries raid, and we have had a lot of experience with this, and so we're trying to help people in that way as quickly as we can. We have our own funds that we're raising through donations and grants and so on, and then there is a separate fund for the legal project. Although we're paying for the legal projects that we are directly involved in with the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance legal project, and then there's a separate fund for bail that is being raised in association with the Southern Poverty Law Center, and other kinds of legal support are with SPLC. And people can go to their website if they're interested in the legal part of it and see what they can do. Our website is primarily for families, support for families. And again, that's rents and utilities and cell phones. And cell phones are important because people don't have landlines anymore. And so people can make donations to the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance through our website. And there's a button there that says donation, and it goes through PayPal, and we get it right away. Or they can mail a check to our P.O. Box 1104, Jackson, Mississippi, 39215. And that way we can secure the funds that are necessary to try to sustain these families as long as we can. And in the Howard Industries raid, we were able to do it for about 2 months, so it gave the families an opportunity to try to figure out what they need to do for their own future.
Luis Espinosa, as I listen to all of this, you know, among other things, I think about what a terrifying waste of public resources that could otherwise be spent combating white nationalist terror that has claimed the lives of so many over the years. And here are these hardworking families that are being attacked mercilessly, broken up, the aspirations and dreams of delightful, wonderful young people like Marley Lopez are being truncated. So how do you understand? What do you say about this country? country. What do we say about this country, and what do we do about this horrifying dilemma of the administration acting under such profoundly unjust immigration laws, which are so much inspired by racism and xenophobic contempt for people right now, particularly from Mexico and Latin America? What do you think?
Yes, look, what I think is not this country. This country is wonderful. That's why so many people could try to get here, to be here and work here. It's not a country. It's only a few number of the government people who are trying to do this. Because, and why I say that, because in this case, what happened in this case is, okay, we have this situation, and like a bill says, we received wonderful, great, amazing response of the people of the whole country, in many, from different cities. They sent us food, they send us money to try to help the people who are in this trouble right now. That means it's not a country trying to do something wrong, something bad to this community. It's the part of the government. You don't understand the system. They don't understand. They have to fix the problem, not to make more problems. And let me give you just one example. Saturday, two girls from the University of Illinois, they came here driving a van with full of different stuff, different food, clothes, hampers, jackets. They made a fundraising and started to collect everything, and then they bring here to our community. So that is the nice thing about this. So I think it's not a country.
Well, listen, we're going to have to wrap it up. And Marlee, I want to get you back on. And Bill Chandler is going to give us the ultimate last word, which is where, again, people can get in touch to provide assistance. But what do you say to people? And by the way, I think this is going to be your best birthday year ever, because we got the whole nation listening to this, wishing you happy birthday for your dignity, your beauty, your courage. We are with you, my dear young sister. And so what do you tell us? What do you want to see happen in this country now?
Like, I want to change, because, you know, I feel like, you know, what happened with, like, segregation, it happened with African Americans. They didn't accept them. They wanted everybody to go back. They didn't accept them. And they treated them different and all, just because of skin of the color. And now they're going to a different race. So now Hispanics, now they want to get deported. They want to go back. And so, like, I want everybody to treat everybody equal. Like, just because we don't have papers doesn't mean we're bad people, and doesn't mean that we're trying to, like, try to steal stuff from people. Because even though a lot of people from different races, I'm not saying one specific race is bad, because not just because one person messed up doesn't mean the whole race is a bad thing. Like, I just want everybody to, like, think about that. We're all humans. We're all human beings. We all have our flaws. We all have our mistakes. And just because some people mess up doesn't mean everybody got to take the blame for. And then we should be equally, like, treated the same, because at the end of the day, we're not going to stay here forever. And it's not going to, and we should be bigger and helping other people, helping the community, and, like, accepting people who they are. Because, you know, we're just trying to make this whole place a better place to live at, a better place to, like, be safe at. Because at this point, children shouldn't be scared. They shouldn't be thinking, oh, what's going to happen to my parents tomorrow? Because, like I say, like, school, what's the point of me studying anymore? And later on, my parents get deported, which means I got to go back home, go back to Guatemala. And then, like, all my studies, all that hard work I did was, like, for nothing.
Well, can I ask you one promise? I'd like you, when you get your doctor's degree, and we're going to make sure you do, can I be your first patient?
You make house calls?
All right.
Will you make house calls?
You're going to be a doctor. You are going to be a doctor. We're going to all together make it so, because it's just people like you that we need. And, Bill, we have 30 seconds left with all the young people in the background telling us that we need to send some help and some love, and we need to stand up for something and stand up for our immigrant sisters and brothers. So where can we find out more about what we can do to help all of our sisters and brothers, including people like Marley Lopez's dad in Mississippi? Where do we write? Where do we tune into? Where do we take, where do we go on the website?
Okay, I want people to know that all of the immigration laws that have been passed since the 1880s have been to manipulate labor, either to bring workers in or kick workers out once they're here. And what has happened to her father and to hundreds of other people here in Mississippi, you know, is deliberate. It's not like they weren't supposed to be here, because they were supposed to be here until their value ran out. And to support these families, you go to the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance website. And that's www.yourmira. That's YOURMIRA.org. And on the website, there's a donation button. You can push that and make your donation through. It goes through PayPal and it goes directly to us. We really prefer people to mail checks to P.O. Box 1104, Jackson, Mississippi, 39215, because we'll get all of the money that you're donating. Of course, PayPal takes a little bite or a nibble out of everything that's given, but either way, we welcome.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there, and it is our commitment. I know it. This is what our listeners respond to. So we're there. We're there, Marley Lopez. We're there, Luis Espinosa. We're there, Bill Chandler, Executive Director of the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance, to help our sisters and brothers in Mississippi. And I'm going to hold Marley to that promise. I'm going to be your first patient when you graduate and get that degree.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you all
You're doing
so much.
A great job there.
Not to mention the little ones in the background. We'll get them on next time.
The future.
They are the future. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.